This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
One pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, want you peep the score. Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, and a good the Friday morning to you and yours. June the 18th, 2021. Oh, there's a lot to do. The Bucks force a game 7 against the Nets. The Mets get 2 hit against the Cubs. The Yankees take advantage of a porous Toronto bullpen yet again. The Islanders have opportunities but lose at the hands of the Tampa Bay Lightning. We have a lot to do on a very busy Friday. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing outstanding, Dave. Got a big weekend on deck. The future mother-in-law is coming in town. Then I help my fiance do a little bit of dress shopping. So it should be an eventful weekend. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, that's big. What's the relationship with you and the future mother-in-law? Is it good?
Well, we're getting to know each other. It's still that feeling out period, but now we're going to go back-to-back weekends with being around each other because I was in Chicago last weekend, and now she's coming today. So, you know, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, it's good so far. It's good so far, but it's still the honeymoon period. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I certainly do. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. Congratulations, by the way, on your Nets-Bucks Game 6 prediction.
You love that.
I love every second of it.
You adore what I did yesterday.
No, I'm sitting there. I mean, that's what I'm rooting for at the end of that. I'm like, oh, please, let's get this thing to 15 plus. So Dave's right. Yes. I mean, that's all I had last night. Mets lose. Islanders lose. All I had was your prediction. That's it.
So were you rooting for my prediction as if it were your own? Like, were you that into my prediction last night?
Yeah, I mean, listen, show's right. We're all right. So, Chris, I mean, you all said the Bucks would win, and I thought it would be, and it was close. I mean, it was time. They kept cutting it to 5, and then, I mean, we'll
yeah,
go
it was
all
close,
it,
a lot closer than the final score would indicate. It really was. And Kevin Durant in that third quarter, I mean, it looked like he was going to make another one of those pushes like he did in Game 6.
They had no help, though. I mean, he scored 12 in the third. I mean, they scored 19. He scored 12 of them. James Harden did look better, though. I think that's a positive
Much
for Game 7. Much better.
He looked almost like James Harden last night.
You know the thing, too, though, and when you watch last night's game, right, and another slow start from Brooklyn, I mean, the end of the first half, they finally, it was crazy, though. I mean, end of the first half, they finally cut it. They cut it to 5, and then Middleton goes on his own 6-0 run, has that late layup at the end of the half, pushes it to, no, not, so end of the first half, and, he gets the couple threes. That's the end of the third quarter. They push it to
layup,
11 again.
Yeah.
And then I say, here's the thing, though. In that moment where Joe Harris fouls Chris Middleton, And you saw James Harden, like he was adamant, like we should challenge this thing. Like, why not take the chance there?
When you're to challenge it?
To challenge that play.
Yeah, I don't know why. But how many times are you going to foul the guy shooting a three?
I believe it was, what, 4 times?
Yeah.
But you never foul the jump shooter. Dave, that's one of those things you learn in middle school basketball. You never foul the jump shooter. And we've seen that a lot this series. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
It was another one of those games, though, too. Well, fast break points, which is, I mean, that's, you played right into the hands of Milwaukee. I mean, they dominated you fast break points. Free throw attempts, they dominated you on the free throw line. That's the amazing thing, though. I mean, Kevin Durant, and is it officiating because, you know, you're in Milwaukee now, that changes as opposed to when you're in Brooklyn, like you're going to favor the home team? But, I mean, for Kevin Durant to have only 2 free throw attempts last night, I mean, that seems a little bit low for Kevin Durant, especially with what you saw in game five, no?
No, it does seem a little bit low, but the one thing I will say is if you were the Bucks, you realize how much the early foul trouble from Jrue Holiday, from Giannis, from P.J. Tucker hurt you, and you couldn't repeat that in game 6. Not if you were going to have a chance. Like, you're going to need some of those fouls. You're going to need to have a little bit of leeway once you get in the second half, just because if Kevin Durant tries to go on another one of those runs by himself, you need to be able to body him up, try to slow him down a little bit, and I think they realized that in this game, you're right. I think the refs were a little more liberal in terms of letting the guys play, and that's always going to be advantage Bucks. So, I mean, the disparity in the free throw shooting, Rick, you just brought that up. You're absolutely right. I thought that was a huge difference in the game. Also, the fast break points from the Bucks versus what the Nets got. I want to say the Bucks had 26 fast break points to the Nets 4.
Yeah, they're plus 22.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's one of those things you got to look at moving forward. Like, are the Nets going to be able to play with a little pace? I mean, it's hard to say because we don't know the condition of James Harden's hamstring. Like, there was one time he got a turnover in the second half, and he was afraid to push it because you could see he didn't quite trust that hamstring. So, I mean, in terms of the Nets being able to get out in transition and get easy buckets, I don't know how realistic it is to expect that they'll be able to do that, at least not to the degree that the Bucks can. So I think that's another one of those things to keep an eye on. But as James Harden continues to log more minutes and get more confidence in that hamstring, I think he can be more of a contributing factor to the Nets as opposed to what we saw in Game 5.
Well, I think we saw it, right? I mean, Game 5, he was a shell of himself. Game 5, he looked like he was really almost unplayable and gutted it out. Game 6, he was – you saw James Harden. Like you didn't see the full James Harden, certainly, but you saw fits and spurts of what you've come to appreciate out of James Harden, hopefully for the Nets' sake, that he's – you know, takes the step from where he was Game 6 and that big increase to Game 7, and you get a much closer version. But I think if you get a better version of Harden in Game 7, I still like the Nets to win this series. I do. You know, a lot of people thought the Bucks would you know, lay down last night. They didn't do that. But I still like the Nets to win the series.
No, I mean, listen, if you thought the Bucks were going to lay down, I don't think you've given enough respect to the Bucks.
I wasn't sure. I'm going to be honest with you. I was not sure. No, I hear what you're saying, but I wasn't sure, though. Because what we saw from the Bucks with that collapse after having a 17-point lead in Brooklyn, you know, James Harden being a shell of himself and only Kevin Durant, after we saw that, I looked at the Bucks as a team that had, you know, a little bit of an issue in terms of their overall psyche. Like, you don't know the fragility of the mentality that the Bucks might have. Like, I felt like it was table stakes for them to come out punching in the beginning of yesterday's game, but when things tightened up a little bit in that second half, I wasn't sure which way that thing was going to go. I really wasn't.
See, I just looked at what, you know, what these teams have done, right? One on the home, you know, when Brooklyn is at home, obviously, I mean, they're averaging 118 points a game. On the road, they're averaging less than 90. I mean, 89 points. They're two different teams. I mean, both of these teams. Milwaukee at home is a completely different team than you see at Milwaukee on the road. Especially Chris Middleton. Like, he ends up being the difference. Like, Giannis, you could pretty much pencil in. I mean, and he got most of his paint, you know, points in the paint, and, you know, didn't take a three, which I'm sure they were happy to see. But, I mean, Chris Middleton on the road compared to what he is at home. Like, yeah, I mean, you said yesterday that Chris Middleton's like a, you know, kind of like
fringe all-star.
Well, not at home, he's not. He's a legit all-star at home. Yeah, I mean, look at the series at home. I mean, look at his numbers at home.
No. There's no question about it. He plays much better at home, but, I mean, that's a part of the Bucks' problem, right? I mean, they're going to have to win a road game. I mean, the Nets are the higher seed. And so you would hope that on the road, like, your other all-star would step up and play a lot bigger than he has throughout the course of this series. Like, that's the one thing that I questioned Chris Middleton about. And I felt like in the first round of the playoffs when he hit that big shot against Miami, even though it was at home, like, Chris Middleton was putting everybody around the NBA on notice that he had arrived and it's going to be a different version of him during this playoff run. But, I mean, listen, when you're on the road, you need your star players to be the catalyst for your team. You need them to be the energy guys. You need them to be the guys to make the plays when the momentum is going against you. And that has not been Chris Middleton in Brooklyn. So, I mean, we got enough of a sample size to know who he is and who he ain't when it comes to playing at Barclays. And I don't trust that we're going to see a performance from him over the weekend like we saw last night.
Chris Middleton at home right now is shooting 54%. In Brooklyn, he's shooting 32%.
That's a big difference.
No, it's a humongous difference. And from three, how about this one? From three, in Brooklyn, he's shooting 26%. At home, he's shooting 50%.
Wow.
Like, he plays like a legit, like, and Chris, you're right. Like, we've already seen this, right? In order in the NBA now to, you know, to win playoff series, you need more than just one star. And I think the definition of a true star is they're able to do, you know, be who they are at home and on the road. And unfortunately for the Bucks right now in this series, that hasn't been the case for Chris Middleton. And
no,
I think
he's
you
not
could
a
say
star.
The same, but I think you could say the same for the role players on both of these teams, home and road. Like, the reason why you won Game 5, if you're Brooklyn, and, I mean, you had a historical...
Jeff Green.
Exactly right. And
yep.
Jeff Green had 5 points
Somebody
last night.
Needs to put an APB out for Joe Harris.
Can Joe Harris again.
Can we find Joe Harris?
Yeah, but can't we just say that Joe Harris is not going to show up? Like, you're going to have to win in spite of what Joe Harris is doing.
First game. Game one, he was really good. Game two, he was pretty good. And then since that, I mean, since game two, he's been...
Yeah, but he's been horrendous.
Yeah.
Almost unplayable bad.
Yes, I would agree with that, Dave.
You know what you missed, too, though, with James Harden nicked up the way he's nicked up? Is, because again, I mean, we were talking about the fast break points. Like those are easy, especially with Giannis. Like, that's where he's at his best, right? And they score, you know, 26 points in transition as opposed to game five, they had two. That's a huge difference. Like, getting easy offense for the Nets right now against a good defensive team hasn't been easy, except for Kevin Durant. But you miss James Harden's ability to get to the free throw line. Because, he's shooting threes. He's one of the best.
Yeah, there were a couple
of
those threes, though, he should have got the foul call on.
Whistle. But what I'm saying is when he breaks you down and is able to actually get to the rim is when he's at his best, because there's no one better at drawing fouls. And he, unfortunately, can't do that right now for them. You know what I mean? Like, he had five free throw attempts last night. He took, six of his nine shots are threes. Positive is he looked better, but still, like, you, again, if Jeff Green's not going to participate, if Joe Harris isn't going to participate, like, they need, someone else has to step up.
No, you're right about that, but the one thing I do worry about with James Harden coming off of that hamstring, I mean, he's logging big minutes, Rick. I mean, 45 in game five.
46.
46 in game five, and then 40 last night. I just, like, when you're just getting back from a hamstring, I don't care how much restraint you play with, how much you try to control the situation. Like, I just feel like that's pushing it a little bit in terms of being able to compete, you know, and being able to sustain that. I'm not putting anything on James Harden. I'm not wishing him ill, but I worry about what that means for him in game seven.
It has to be, I mean, the only thing you can think of is it has to be they just don't want to put him out for an extended period of time because they don't want that thing to tighten up. Like once we get him warm, we just let him go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's a balancing act, though, man. You know that's a balancing act.
Oh, I know. Listen, I know. I guess at that point, though, you're just going to trust that James Harden can protect himself, right? Like, in who knows? In the heat of the moment, that's not always the case. But from what he looked like in Game 5 to what – it was night and day to what he looked like last night, I thought.
He looked so much better in Game 6, yes. And if he can make that same jump to Game 7, you would get a really good version of James Harden. Let's take a listen to – to Steve Nash, saying this was not one of our better games last night.
We weren't well tonight offensively, you know, out of rhythm, out of sync. You know, we definitely didn't play the way we wanted to play, the way we planned to play. And I would say that for the entire game. You know, we had a couple stretches where we played okay, but really didn't play the way we wanted to play offensively. Defensively, we weren't great either, but not a disaster. But just not a great game from us. We just didn't have our best stuff tonight. And, you know, we got a game seven on our home floor.
Well, fortunately for them, they found a way in game five. They kind of stole that game, you know, down big, came back, won that game, and now they afforded themselves the issue of being able to not play their best game in game six and needing to find a way to win game seven at home.
Yeah, but last night felt like one of those games, Dave, where the Nets were like, if we're in it late, then we'll go ahead and try to win it. But if we get to the last 5 minutes of the game,
that's right,
and the Bucks have a sizable lead, then you know we know that we have the opportunity game seven in our building, in our back pocket. Like, it just felt like one of those games that they looked at as a nice to have, but it's not a gotta have. Like, the sense of urgency between the two difference, between the two teams, it couldn't be more different. So, I mean, the Bucks, it's what we should have expected. Like, if the Bucks went to Milwaukee and lost game six, then I mean, I just think it would just make it that much more of a spectacle what's happened to them with this collapse in this series. But you know, with Brooklyn, I don't look at game six as some flashing red light as to any concern whether or not they'll be able to make it past the Bucks into the Eastern Conference Finals.
No, I don't think it's any kind of major concern either. So, Rick, you started the show with it, and then we kind of let it quickly fade away. The genius that was me at like 7:30 yesterday. I think we should revisit that, right? We would be remiss if we didn't.
We'd be doing the show a disservice if we didn't.
Here's what we now, of course, you wouldn't make a prediction. Chris liked
the Bucks. I predict a win. I didn't predict a score, no.
Yeah, but come on.
Well, what do you mean, come on?
I mean, come on. We were predicting scores, and you said it was too much for you to handle.
I know. You and Chris like to do that stuff. I got Islanders. I had the Islanders. I got too much anxiety, and I realized last night in the moment watching the game, MF in the TV, that I can't. I'm not suited to go to these games. I can't. I would embarrass myself.
Well, I thought you and Michael are going to take it on these games, and then Peter's going to ride along as well.
Yeah, listen, it's in the moment it sounds great. Then, to, I mean, coming to the realization last night, if you actually saw, like, I was Dave Rothenberg-ish last night.
Really?
Oh, it got ugly.
It was actually, as a sports fan, last night is one of those stressful nights, at least for me. It's too much on. There's too much important stuff on during the course of the night. You got the Mets Cubs, you got Yankees Blue Jays, and then you have Nets Bucks and Islanders Lightning. That to me, it's too much.
Yeah, and it's been, I mean, this is 2 days out of the week, too. I mean, this is, Tuesday was the same thing. I can't.
And Saturday's going to be the same thing. Saturday, you got a game 7 and a game 4 for the Islanders.
Which is, I mean, let's face it. Come on. Which may as well be a game 7. You can't lose game 4.
No.
You can't.
Would think it's very unlikely they're going to win 3 games in a row. 2 of them on the road against Tampa, right?
Yeah, but at least we got Sunday to recover. This is boom. No sleep. Right back at it.
Yeah, no, it's very accurate. All right, so let's take a listen to what I said yesterday, 7:30, right here on this show. Not only do I think that Milwaukee wins, I think they hammered Dennis tonight. I think they beat him by 15-plus. Yep.
I'm wow, 15-plus.
15-plus. Chris, where are you going?
I'm going Milwaukee, although I think it'll be a lot more competitive than you seem to think.
Rick?
I would go Milwaukee. I just said it. I would go Milwaukee.
But big, confident, like a throttle? I'm saying throttle. I mean, look what I do. I go out on a limb. And the limb can sustain the massive prediction that I'm making.
I don't know if that. I mean, that. Yeah, this was.
Come on.
This was AFC is loaded kind of prediction you made last night, yesterday. I was proud of you in the moment watching that game. I was proud of you. I was actually rooting for it.
And I said 107.91. I think it was 104.89 was the final.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sensational stuff.
I mean, that's a hell of a prediction, man. You feel proud of yourself.
I'm telling you.
I do.
Very impressive.
It might be the best thing I've ever done. Like, kids,
no, you sure
marriage,
the
ever.
You don't think the spider tack little segment you did with your two new cronies wasn't your finest work?
The jealousy on this show and on this station, it never ceases to amaze me how petty some people on the show can be. We'll get to that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I am traumatized for RJ. Everything I now say to him, Rick, he goes, are you making this up? Is this real? Is this legitimate? It's good. We really have him on our toes now.
It's not good. Well, he started. Terrific. I don't feel bad for him. He started. I mean, I used to look at the rundown. It was
gospel.
That was what it was. Like, he did all the research. He's at the station breaking things down, giving us numbers and stats and everything else, ideas for the show. I used to look at it and be like, okay, well, there's something I need. I don't need to go look that up now.
No, that's right. He was like our own mini version of Elias.
Yes. That's hurtful. He's not mini.
I didn't mean that. You took it like that. I just meant like Elias is a big corporation and RJ is just one guy is what I meant. The fact that you went there says a lot about
it.
Well, Dave, with you, we never can tell these days. I mean, you're taking shots at everybody because of these dogs. I mean, just the mood that you're in every single day.
Trying to fight people.
That's what I'm saying.
Today.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to fight anybody.
I don't know. Some guy at a restaurant.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't try to. How do you go from what happened to that I was trying to fight this man?
It sounded very adversarial. The way you described
approaching him at his
and calling him
behavior.
Selfish, it sounded very adversarial.
Eye to eye, belly to belly, yeah. Selfish.
It was no belly to belly. It didn't even get heated.
You're lucky.
I just said you're being selfish.
Well, you said you weren't worried about whether or not it did get heated because you were so much bigger than this guy.
I mean, the
fact that your mind would go there and say, "Well, you know what? I'm going to try this guy because if it does go left, I feel like I can handle myself." Like that's just we typically wouldn't see that kind of Rothenberg.
Maybe you're getting a newer version, but I don't think it ever got to the point where it was you know untenable. I thought it was fine in your mind.
But see, that's the thing in your mind. Like how you see the situation could be different. How this guy, obviously, he's a little bit unstable because he needs two TVs with the Yankees.
Right?
I mean, what a jerk! Right?
How old was this guy?
I like to see the Yankees from every angle. The two TVs were right next to each other.
No different angle, though. It's the same. It's the same TV. It's not like it's two different camera angles.
It was just like I want my, you know, when I go down to take a bite of sushi, I want my right eye to witness the TV on the right. I want to, you know, take a sip of tea on the left and be able to, you know, look up and glance and see it on the left TV as well. But in my mind, it was very selfish. And you got DeGrom, you got the Mets, and why would you ever put two TVs on the same exact game back to back, right next to each other?
Dave, I ask myself that question, that very question occasionally when I go to restaurants and they have some weird, like rather than like the Mets or Yankees, they have some like weird thing on the televisions. You have to
like
actually ask them.
Like a TV show?
Yeah, a show or like a movie that they're showing or just some random sporting event. And you're like, well, the Yankees and the Mets are playing. What are we watching right now? Like, I mean, the pickleball championships are great, but I need to watch the baseball.
They got professional bull riding on, Rico.
That's exactly what they got on. Because they don't care.
I care, and I'm always armed with the channels too. Because typically they'll say, well, we can't put it on if we don't know what channel SNY is on FiOS. And I'm like, oh, 577, put it on, baby. Thank you.
Look at you.
That's right. I know my channels.
Dave, you would love this. I'm gonna actually get you this. I don't know if they make it still. So back in the day, I forget how old I was, but one of the kids on our team had an actual watch. They had a universal remote control on it, like in the watch. So like we'd go to a hockey tournament, we'd be at a restaurant, be like, oh, that TV channel needs to be changed. And he could program whatever kind of TV it was to his watch and change the channels for us.
Wait, so he wouldn't need the remote at the place?
No, like you know how I told you, I used to go clicking? Like I could program the remote to change people's channels. His watch did the same thing. So he could like, we'd be like, okay, it's a you know Mitsubishi and there's codes for the different TVs. He could just type it into his watch and then take control of the TV.
That's brilliant, actually. I love that. I love that.
That's phenomenal. Just take control of someone else's television.
Well, then Canty's got the app, too, where he can listen to the sound. Like, when the sound's off of the TV that you're watching, he can dial it up on his phone and listen to the sound.
Yeah.
And it lines up perfectly?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Technology, man.
I got to figure out how to use all this technology.
Yeah.
I feel like
I don't know how to do anything.
Well, listen, if you ain't figured it out in the last year and a half with the pandemic, it ain't going to happen. You're probably not going to do it.
Yeah, I just stopped renting technology, right, Chris? Like you're capable.
I'm capable. I'm not a savant. You know, I'm no RJ Centillo, but I mean, I can hold my own.
Yeah, but I'm incapable. Like I can do. I can't even do laundry. I can do nothing.
I just stopped renting porn. Like I gotta take.
How is laundry involved with the technology conversation?
Well, the washer dryer are very intimidating. Like I don't know how to. I couldn't open the one of them. They lock.
I don't know if that qualifies as technology, though.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Well, some of the new stuff, though. I will say that, though. Like, some of the new dryers and washers and some of the refrigerators and stuff. Like, they got, I mean, those things got a lot of built-in technology in them. Alarm, stove, refrigerator, freezer. Had the pool last night.
Oh, pain. Goodness. There's a lot going on. All right, let's get to some of the calls. 800-919-3776. Lonnie in Harlem. Good morning, Lonnie. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, family. Well, I called in today to wish Dave and Uncle Rico a really happy birthday. Also to all the male listeners out there that's fathers as well. Canty, I want to wish you a happy Father's Day, even though I know you're not one. You do have to deal with these two big children 5 days out of the week, so I want to wish you a happy Father's Day as well. Well, the next game last night was crazy. The Bucks played a little differently if you guys actually was, you know, looking at it. Giannis played a little bit more aggressive. He slowed down a little bit when he was trying to attack the rim. So I feel like that was key. But like you guys said, Joe Harris, I mean, Canty, we got to put the APB out on a milk card for this guy. Like, what happened to him? He's gone missing. Jeff Green was throwing up bricks last night to start the game. So, I mean, he kind of started off slow. So, I mean, the fact that they got back into the game, they kept cutting it to five, lets me know that I think Brooklyn can, you know, when they get home, they can take it. But I don't know. The Bucks are playing a little different. So if they continue
But Nephew Lonnie, the Bucks play different because they were at home. I mean, Chris Middleton's a different player at home. In between, I mean, you know, points in transition, the fast break points, and then, I mean, what Giannis did, I mean, he wasn't settling. Like, Giannis wasn't, like, we criticized him in game five for having James Harden one-on-one, you know, on the block, and James Harden actually says, no, I don't need the double team, and Giannis settles for a fadeaway jumper. I mean, that's not, he didn't do that last night. Like, he attacked all night last night, which is what they need him to do, because he can't shoot at all.
Yeah. And
22 of his 30 points were in the paint. Like, that's who he is.
Game, though. He can't go outside the paint.
No, but when that dude gets a full head of steam and he's coming downhill, good luck trying to slow him down. I mean, the best that you can do is trying to stand in way and draw an offensive foul. But, I mean, that means you're going to have to take one in the chest from a really big guy.
Yeah, he's an enormous human being. Chris Middleton, he says he's not feeling any pressure, not whatsoever, for Game 7.
I don't think about any type of pressure at all. It's a basketball game. As simple as that. I mean, I know it's lose or you go home, but at the same time, it's just basketball. You know, we got to have fun with it. And those moments are fun when, you know, the game's on the line. Fans don't really see the real talking trash or, you know, the real competitive spirit in open gyms during the summer times when games are close and guys got to get kicked out the court. But, you know, that's a lot where it starts. That's all, you know, I go to in my mind is just thinking about, you know, summer workouts, summertime, having fun. But now it's just an official building with people watching.
You better have that same mindset in Brooklyn because you haven't.
100%.
And you better realize, too, like, this isn't like, oh, we're going to get kicked off the court. This is your coach is going to get fired. You lose game seven, your coach is going to get fired.
I mean,
like,
the entire franchise could go in a different direction if you don't win this. There's a lot of pressure on both teams in game seven tomorrow night.
No question about it, Dave. But to Rick's point, like, if the Bucks don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals with this group, then they're going to break up the band. Like, they're moving significant pieces, and they're in the head coaching market. I wouldn't be surprised if they got Rick Carlisle on speed dial from Dallas. Like, I mean, that's how drastically things can change in Milwaukee. And quite frankly, they should, because this has been a team that's been dominant in the regular season, and they underachieve in the playoffs. And at some point, something about that has to change. This is the series that it has to happen with a compromised Brooklyn Nets squad. Like, if you're not able to get past them, then it just ain't going to happen for this Bucks squad as constituted.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Rough loss last night. The Islanders had their opportunities. Tampa Bay played very well on the road, and the Lightning take home ice back by winning that game 2-1 last night, Rick.
Yeah, but I mean, we all figure this is going to be a grinded-out series. I mean, Islanders have done this in the first two series this postseason, is they've lost the game three and then come back to
win three in a row.
I don't know if that's going to be the case with this series, but I know people are pointing to that penalty. But in that situation, I mean, you can't afford to do that. Is it a questionable call? Like, do you have to call it?
Yeah.
No, in that moment, you don't have to call it. But does Pelech need to do it? No, you don't need to do it. And then they actually kill off the penalty. And just as...
That was some goal.
Just as it gets evened up. And then there's the goalie interference. Is it goalie interference? Do you challenge it? I mean, if you watch the play, it ends up being Andy Green that actually affects Varlamov's ability to make that save. But it's, I mean, point. I mean, he's scored in six straight games. So he's been, I mean, that's what he's done. So a close one. Vasilevsky was great, too. I mean,
he's great.
Especially early on.
He really is terrific. He was not great in game one. He allowed that bad goal.
Well, that was it. I mean, he made good saves in game one. It was just that one.
No, I know, but he doesn't typically allow a bad goal like that. But since then, he's been lights out in this series.
Yeah. I mean, he's been, I mean, that's who he is, though. I mean, this guy is for me, my opinion, the best goal in the NHL. At his size, what he's able to do.
So how you feeling? I mean, you can't be feeling great about this, right?
I feel like I don't.
You feel fine?
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, it's not like the Islanders are, I mean, I don't think they played their best game. I thought early on in the game they played the way that, you know, I'm sure that, you know, Barry wanted them to play, where they were, you know, clogging up the neutral zone. It was tough for, you know, for Tampa to, you know, generate any speed coming through the neutral zone. But then, you know, that started to loosen up a bit, and you started to see, you know, what Tampa does well, which is, you know, skate and create some stuff off the rush. But no, I mean, it's a 2-1 game. It's a close game. I mean, I knew going into this series that the Islanders were going to have their hands full. And I was pumped they won game one. You know, obviously you'd like to see them keep home ice and win game three. But, I mean, this is the defending Stanley Cup champs you're playing here. Right? So, I mean, this is with a couple of the best players in the world that you're dealing with. So, I mean, this was going to be hard no matter what.
Can we say tomorrow night is a,
yes,
a must win for the Islanders? Like, there's no way they're going to win three in a row against this team, correct?
I would have a hard time believing that. Yeah, like, I mean, this Tampa team doesn't lose back-to-back games.
So tomorrow could be, and I'm not saying it will be, but tomorrow has the potential to be the final game ever for the Islanders at the Coliseum.
Yeah, they go down 3-1 going back to Tampa. Yeah, the Saturday night could be the last game at the Coliseum. Yep.
And you're not going? I think you should go.
I don't know, man. I'm having a hard time because last night, like, and that's, I mean, that's a game three. Where, yeah, I would love for them to win, but if they lose, you know, I've already seen them in the first two series, they'll come, but they can come back. I don't trust myself.
Why? I mean, you and Michael, you go with Michael, you go with Peter. You go to game the all-important game four, and if for some godforsaken reason they lose, at least you have your best friend right alongside of you.
There you go.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I mean, like how I'm set up, I enjoy where I'm watching the game. Then I have the ability to swear and everything else. Like, I can...
Because you couldn't swear at the Coliseum?
Well, no, I don't want to be that guy. Like, I'm going to go to the Coliseum. Like, I'm not going to stand there in the stands and make a fool out of myself. You know what I mean? That's like, it's not like I'm going to go there. And like, at some point, you know, someone will see me that I'm there, and I'm not going to be the crazy idiot that's swearing and yelling. Like, that's not who I want.
Could be great for the show, though.
It could be phenomenal. That's if someone what I'm just had a camera on you.
DiPietro cam. Last
and
game at the
you don't want to swearing and screaming and yelling and frothing at the mouth. Think about the promotion for the show that would give.
I get emotional. What do you want to tell you? I get emotional.
Listen, I think we all understand
Sam
on the show.
DiPietro!
By the way, how much swearing is going on? What is happening in your home that you're afraid to leave it and go attend the game with people who are also acting like lunatics?
Well, no, I have the freedom in my own home to say what I want to say about, you know, whoever I want to say it about. I don't think that's the case if I go to the game. Like,
if you go to the game, you can't say, oh, my God, Varlamov, what a horrendous play by you. That's something you can't say.
No, he can't do that, Dave. I mean, he'd run the risk of being, you know, being locked out of the building, kind of like I'm locked out of the Giants.
People, yeah,
like, I can't go over to MetLife anymore.
But you're not welcome there?
No, I'm just saying, Dave. My key card doesn't work anymore. That may or may not have something to do with some of the things that I might have said while I was over there. Just saying.
Well, they've been terrible.
Yeah, Dave, I understand they've been awful. They've had, what, four double-digit loss seasons?
So they didn't want to hear it.
They just didn't want
to hear the truth?
No, they don't want to hear the truth, Dave. You know how that goes. Just try to find the silver lining, try to find the positives, but they've been few and far in between for the Giants. And I'm just saying, with Rick, he just doesn't want to run that risk of that happening with the Islanders, especially with all the good things they got going on around the franchise.
So let me see if I understand this, though. You guys make fun of me nonstop. Oh, you're crazy. You're unstable. Look at the way you handle yourself. And yet you can't go to the Islanders all-important game four because you don't think you can, what, contain your emotions? Is that right?
I don't think it's not that I don't think I can. I know I can.
All right. So then can we stop making fun of me, please?
No. At no point was I naked. Like, you take it to an extreme.
Yeah,
I think you're rubbing off on us is what's happening here.
Yeah. I still
Nothing
don't understand.
I can do! First down! Oh, my God!
I still don't understand the value add for the nudity, Rothenberg. Like, that's the thing I don't get.
Chris, I don't think I look at it and think to myself, it's going to help the team. There's a value add. I think it's more of almost like...
Why wear pants?
Yes, why wear pants? Like an
out-of-body
experience of like, I have no control over what's happening, and oops, look at this, I'm naked.
Yeah, but here's the thing though, Dave, if you start out watching the game naked, okay, I mean, it's strange, but whatever. The fact that
if you're like sitting on the couch gearing up, it's like, where are your clothes? No, the game's about to start.
Yeah, I just don't wear clothes when I'm watching my team play.
No, I don't do that.
No, but you strip down naked as the game is going on. Like, how does that make sense?
I don't know that it does, but I get angry. And what happens is I get angry and like I'll rip off my jersey and then that'll be thrown in the garbage.
Okay.
Have a shirt on, and I'll get angry, and I'll rip that off, and then all of a sudden I'm shirtless, and now I'm
you just
shirtless.
Got tearaway shirts and tearaway
no,
pants.
I become like the Hulk. I become like Lou Ferrigno when I watch these games, and I'm able to rip through shirts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I might have to have a Rothenberg cam just to kind of see that.
Oh, you could make
just
you,
going
you
David
could
Banner on us.
If you had a Rothenberg cam for a big game and I was going bananas, you could retire on the money that you would raise from that.
Dave, I feel like that's a missed opportunity for the Untucked show. I mean, that should be a segment. Like Rothenberg in the fall watching Giants games.
Just, oh, you know,
have a couple
you could
of
do
moments
the old,
in
you
there.
Could do like the whole, like you could start like the whole Buffalo Bill thing, and then as the game goes on, you can untuck it.
Tie right in. Yeah, you're very funny.
I'm trying to make you more money.
There.
You're out here dropping $80 for Spider Tack?
Not me.
Guy's got a big budget.
Listen, it's an important podcast. All right, enough with the music. Can you please?
That's hilarious.
Can you please?
Like, I'm on here, here's the thing, here. Though. Imagine what would happen to me. Okay, so here's I'm in the house.
Okay.
I don't love the fact that Tampa scores first, because when Tampa scores first, I mean, they're tough to beat, right? So already I'm like, oh, this is not great. Islanders much better when they score first. So we tie it up. The following shift after you just tie it up.
I don't even know who that guy is. What is he doing? Why didn't he clear it to the side? Why is he like trying to push it into the goaltender?
Oh, because he's hoping that the goalie's going to cover it up. Yeah, bad play. Like, not a smart play. Clutterbuck does a good job. Knocks the puck away from Vasilevsky. I mean, you're right. Like, it's just get the puck to the corner. Let's regroup. But he didn't. He tried to push it to Vasilevsky. Clutterbuck knocks it in. Yeah, no kidding. So you take it. I mean, that's a nice break, right? Game's tied up. Now all of a sudden, you're going to start carrying momentum. The next shift, for no reason at all, you give the ref the opportunity to make that call at the end of the period. Like, that's a completely different hockey game if you're going into the third period tied 1-1.
Could not agree with you more.
So what do you think I was? How do you think my behavior was at that point?
I'm sure, but you make it sound like the rest of the people are acting like they're in a library, Rick.
I don't need to be out in public acting like that, is what I'm saying.
But everyone, it would be weird if you weren't. Everyone is acting like that at the game. Islanders fans, call us now. Would Rick be welcomed and admonished for acting strangely? It wouldn't even be strange. You'd fit right in.
I think Dave is making a fair point, Rico.
I think Michael would lose respect for me, and I don't want to run that risk.
Oh, my God. You know what?
That part of it makes sense.
So you'd go to the game with Michael. You would not be able to control yourself. You think he would look at you differently, and you couldn't live with yourself if that happened. That's what it is.
Yeah, around the caster, Dave, he's got to have a certain decorum, and if he doesn't, he's afraid that Michael is just going to ostracize him.
Right, and it could forever change the way he looks at you. Yep. And now this love affair is no longer in existence, and there we go. Took a few minutes, had to really run through some scenarios, but there it is. And there we go.
Like, when I'm around Michael, he needs Harvard, Rick. He doesn't need BU, Rick. Like, he needs Harvard, Rick.
This is not a normal relationship. You should be able to be yourself around your best friend.
No, another fair point by Rothenberg.
No, but it's not even
you're
myself.
Just racking like, him up right now, Jay.
It's a different person, though. I don't think anyone's ready to see that person yet. Like, and then Peter's got to see it. Like, it's just, they might be too much.
Oh, no, I've seen that person. I've absolutely seen that person.
You've seen that person.
Yeah.
So why are you comfortable with Chris seeing that version of you, but not Michael?
Because in certain situations like that, I mean, I'm allowed to be that person. Like, in a setting like we're going to be with Peter, it's just, they would be
uncomfortable. He reveres Michael, Dave. That's what it is. It's
sad.
He looks up to him.
Do you look at him like a father?
No, I don't look at him like a father.
Well, why is that such a crazy question?
I look at him like a best friend / confidant / mentor.
Someone you can't be yourself around.
Right? I was about to say, if he's your best friend, you can let your hair down.
Yeah, but it's different. It's like when you take, you're in a relationship and, you know, everything's great. And then all of a sudden you take your girl out, she gets sloppy and starts acting. You're like, I don't know. This doesn't seem like this is what I really want.
So you guys are not locked into the point where no matter what it is that either one of the other one does, it's a safe space.
It's not unconditional.
No,
Dave.
It's not unconditional. You know what it's like? I'll give you the perfect comparison, right? It's like, it's a relationship where I'm not ready to start farting in front of Michael yet. You know what I mean? Like, that's where we're at. Like, I'm not Dutch ovening Michael yet. You know, like, you know, it's like, you know, you don't want, like, I'm not going to, you know, lay in bed in fart with, you know, like Dutch oven my wife.
You have to get there.
You know what, Dave? The more and more that Rick and Michael talk about their relationship, the more uncomfortable I become with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. Like, I don't get it. Outside of them both loving baseball, I don't get why they're so close. What do they have in common?
They have nothing in common. They have this reverence for the other, which makes no sense. And Rick is telling us right now he can't even be himself. Like, Rick,
no, that's not the case at all. How many people? I guarantee you. You just said it right now. No. Did, how many people? How many? Chris, do you fart in front of your girl?
Yeah, but she don't know.
But does she fart in front of you?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So I'm not had that doesn't mean that Chris and Mel aren't madly in love.
Yeah.
She just chooses not to do that in front of Chris.
Yeah.
So you think, but here's what it is. You think that he will look differently upon how you are if he sees the true Rick DiPietro, and you're scared for him to see that. So this entire relationship is built on fraudulent behavior.
No, that's not the true Rick DiPietro.
The whole thing.
That's a different version that only gets let out on different, you know, under certain circumstances. I don't know if he's ready for that yet.
Well, great. You know what we're not ready for? Peter. I mean, Did you hear what Peter said yesterday, guys?
Of course we did.
Oh, can we please? Incredible. It's as if I guess he really doesn't know what's happening. Here is the great Peter Rosenberg.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
How is that even possible?
Oh, my God.
How is it possible?
I mean, God almighty.
Who's the best Brazilian team available in the Euros?
I don't know whether Peter's question is better or Andrew's just brilliant, straight-laced answer happens to be better there. But both just phenomenal.
Well, at least Andrew gave him the bullet to the head, though, Dave. Like, there was no beating around the bush. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I give him a lot of credit. Because I would think that if that was me, that I would be like, what's the matter with you? Like, Brazil and the Euros? But Andrew just, you know, deadpan. He hammered him.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
but just the level of confidence, the level of confidence that Rosenberg has asking the question, though.
Oh, the whole thing is incredible.
That's
and
during the live read.
Says Phil Simms was not a terrific quarterback.
Dave, that's during a live read he asked that question.
I don't know what to say, Rick. I'm speechless. I'm without words. Gunling is
disgusted.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple of days for Rosenberg on the K Show.
Well, he has some horrible takes, and just, you know, Brazil and the Euros. I mean,
not to mention being
so
embarrassing, embarrassed by you. I mean, just embarrassed him, Dave.
So much so that you think I might have gone too far.
Yes.
I would punch you in the nose.
You might have affected his esteem. Like, he just
so you think
all
what I did
geography.
The other day might be putting him in an out-of-control spiral right now, and that's why he thought Brazil was in Europe?
Yeah, I'm thinking that the two might be connected, Dave. Like, you just got the guy shaking so bad, he just forgets where Brazil is. That's completely puts Brazil in Europe. A completely
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
It sounds like Alex Trebek when someone gets the answer wrong on Jeopardy. Right, Brazil is a South American country, so they would have absolutely no one playing right now in the Euros.
Completely different hemisphere, Dave. Like, just
he went to a different hemisphere. Oh, my God, Rosenberg, what a treat this guy is.
Oh, man.
I think it's your fault. I'm going to be honest. I think Chris is right.
Of course. And by the way, my fault? You guys are great teammates. Did I get a text, a call, anything from anybody? How'd the physical go yesterday? Are you healthy? Well,
you said
all right?
It was blood work. How fast did they get your blood work turned around?
It was a full physical, though.
Well, Dave, I figured they were going to take your temperature with the thermometer, so you would be happy.
They take it on the forehead now.
I did
have probing go on. My name is Dave, and I had my temperature taken rectally as a child.
What is that? One? Why don't you make it two?
Right.
No. Yes. I don't want the double plow today.
But were they probing like a prostate? Today.
What happened?
A little prostate probage?
And how about this? He says to me, you know, you are of the age now where it's time to... It's time to get the colonoscopy. Early risers will get work.
Yeah, but do you need to do that now, though? Can't you do, like, isn't there a company where you can do, they'll send you a box and you can poop in the box and then they, without having to take a colonoscopy?
How accurate do you think that could possibly be?
I think you're right, Rico. There is another test that you can take. You don't have to have that anymore.
Well,
don't they
have a test like just for polyps? Is what I need.
Why don't you try the box thing first?
I would love to do the
box.
You
want me to order it for you? Have it sent to you? Yeah, but you have to now, I mean, that's... It's a lot of work, though.
A lot of work. Do you know what a colonoscopy entails? You have to drink
now I have fractured glass in my rear.
You have to drink liquids, which now relieve you of any fecal matter at all. And then the next day, you get knocked unconscious, and they take a tube, and they shove it up your rear end. Take it! Take it!
It sounds like a Saturday as a six-year-old for you. I don't understand what we're talking about.
Yes,
I don't want the double plow today. But I'm there. Dave's
got a birthday party with thermometers in the cake.
Like that kind of party. I bet your best friend in the world, Michael Kay, had his temperature taken like that.
I had no control over my bowels. I doubt it.
You doubt it?
Nah,
I guarantee you.
He's too smart for that.
Nope. Guarantee you.
He would have questions. Like, why are we doing this?
Exactly. There's got to be a better way.
There's got to be a better way.
There's no better way. They didn't have another thermometer at the time. That's what they did.
Well, what do you mean? You couldn't use the... No, time out. Here's the thing, though. The reason why they did it anally was because they thought that there was the mercury in the thermometer was bad for you to put in your mouth. So if it's bad to put in your mouth, why would it be bad? It shouldn't be bad to put into your sphincter?
Exactly. I completely
that's
agree with your logic.
That's how people's temperature was taken. Whatever kind of analysis people like you want to give it, that's how it was done.
Because you were a sheep. my mother, when she felt sick, my grandma would just give her an enema. After the first one, I would ask questions. Like, you really think you shooting this up me is like really helping me right now? I don't think it is. I don't feel better. I wouldn't be signing up for more of them.
I wasn't signing up. They needed to know if I was sick or not, if I had a fever.
Stop
I shouldn't have
capping.
To explain it to
what
you guys.
What does capping mean?
You can take my word for it, Mom. I'm a little hot. Well, you know what?
Right? I'm burning up. Just give me the time.
Whatever happened, you're using the back of your hand. Put it on my forehead.
Yeah. Try the armpit.
Kiss my forehead, please. Just kiss it and see if I have a fever. Don't need this. God's sake.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.